Okay, we're now in Parshas Vayikra, and the first piece is a piece in the Chinuch. It's about Karbonis and so on, and he is going to give a little bit of a description about Karbonis, their purpose, and so on. So he says, "Vanochas atam azabin abayis." He described all about the Beis Hamikdash, its purpose, and so on, is to chayev son of gamkin lismach al atam azeh ba'atzmo lefi apshat ina karbonis v'shevet oved v'kev nikarim du. Once we describe Beis Hamikdash and its purpose, we now need to describe karbonis and so on. So he makes his first statement, which is very, very fundamental to the chinuch's perspective on mitzvahs. Halo amarnu ki ikri halavavos tluyim achrei ha'pu'ulos, that people's hearts turn and become in tune with their actions. Valken ki yechta ish, when a person sins, lo yituar libo yofi bidvar sasayim bilvad, speech alone is not going to cleanse him. Sheyoma beino lekosel chatos ilosif od. If he just stands and says, I've done wrong, I won't do more, that's not going to change him fully. When he does something big, he takes something expensive, something, he takes one of his cattle, and the cattle in those days, those were people's resources. People owned cattle. He brings him to the Beis HaMikdash, he says, does everything. Doing that entire ma'isa is something that really helps a person realize his chet. Let's describe a little bit what the chinuch is saying. Because first thing is, people have always asked, well, does the ma'isa affect the machshava? Does machshava affect the ma'isa? There seems to be back and forth on it. And we find different places where it says, the Gemara says two people do the same thing. One person has one thing in mind, one person another thing in mind. And, you know, and this mice is considered to be very good because he had good thoughts. This mice is considered bad because he had bad thoughts, and so on. On the other hand, Mussel Sharm also says the same yesod, that a person is nimshach after his chitzonis, and so on. So the answer is very simple. Let's give an example to ourselves. Let's say a person does a chesed for me. He opens the door for me. He gets me a little gift. He helps me. If it was preceded by thought, in other words, I would like to help so-and-so, I will now open the door for him, I will get him a present, help him with X or Y or Z, then certainly the value and the quality of the ma'isa in that particular case is determined by the thought. Somebody that it's rote to open up the door for other people, the ma'isa has smaller value. Somebody that made an effort and said, oh, this guy is walking up, it's hard for him to open the door, he's carrying grocery bags, and so on. Certainly, the quality of the ma'isa is determined by the machshava. But in terms of a training effect, a person who is trained to open doors, say good morning, etc., etc., they tend to affect the person as well. It works in both directions. In a particular ma'isa, the machshava comes first and ma'isa comes second. But as a training ground, ma'isim train the person. So a person who is used to being careless with other people's property becomes a careless person. He does not really have respect for other people's property, doesn't care, and he becomes a bad person. So in the long process, the ma'isa affects the machshava. And now, if a person did aveira through ma'isa, it leaves a certain mark on him. And that's why the need to rectify it has to be by ma'isa. In a certain sense, it is something that is very much at the very heart of our understanding of onesh and so on. Let's give ourselves a simple example, not even the world of chet and so on. Let's say a person has a bad habit, drinking, substance abuse of some sort, etc., etc., etc. We talk, so he gets a high from drinking, from taking X or Y or Z, doing X, Y, or Z, and so on. And we talk about how terrible it is and the problems with it and so on and so forth. It does not usually have the effect of deterrence. If the person actually hurts himself and he feels a pain, then that pain has a chance of sending the body an equivalent message, a message equivalent to his to the pleasure that he feels. In other words, the body sort of weighs the, not in a rational way where it abstracts everything and says, this is this type of pleasure, this type of pain, makes a lot of sense that we shouldn't do it. It weighs it actually in terms of the sensation it has. So if one thing is a physical sensation, one thing is a drusha, then it's not going to stand up against it. And that's why the pain and the suffering that's metakin a person, like an olam haba, the gehenim. If a person had a very, very pleasant physical sensation when he ate chaza, so that sensation is part of his person. That sense of goodness of chaza is part of the person. Unless the person has an equally physical sensation, or not physical, but equally powerful sensation of bad, it's not going to go out of him. So physical, you know, tsar, pain, is really the equivalent sensation. For most people, that would mean a physical pain of sorts, or whatever Gehenim is, but it would be a very, very real pain. For a person who can summon his machshava and his understanding creates a tsar equal to the pleasure that he had, then one can say that this has erased this. But it's very important to understand that that's why Gehenim is seen as a reality and as a vivid pain, because for a person to spit out of himself, I'll paraphrase an expression used in Yerodea for kashering, kibliyoso kach poltoso. The intensity with which something has been absorbed is the intensity that's required to exorcise it. You've got to draw it out with the same intensity. So if the pleasure is an intense pleasure on a physical level, the pain must be of equal intensity. There's a famous kind of Yiddish quip, saying, whatever, that a Rebbe once spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, you are mightily unfair, because the lure of Olam Hazeh you placed all around us. The Gehenim, there's a Sefer Reishis Chochma, in which one Shah describes all of the fire of Gehenim and so on and so forth. That was classically seen as the most fire and brimstone of all Sfarim. He says, Gehenim, you locked in an old dusty Sefer, whereas the Taivas you've placed all around us. If you would have put the Reishis Chochma around us and locked up the Taivas in some sort of dusty Sefer, we'd have a better chance. It's the same idea. So Karbonis are an element in Tshuva that allow for a Maisa, that they allow us to actually do something which expresses Harata rather than merely saying. That's the point of Karbonis. And he quotes Ramban here, that when a person brings, very famous Ramban, that when a person brings a carbon, what he does is he sees the animal as being an incorporation of himself. And he sees the blood is his own blood of his nefesh, sort of his life force being held up to the Mizbeach, and the person should try to see himself in the animal and say that, no, really, this is where I ought to be, or would be, if not for the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And he adds here, just in way he's describing in this paragraph, you know, that it's the blood is as if his blood is being spilled in his body, and the burning of the of the fat is as if his body is being burnt and so on. He also adds, interesting, v'hamonos l'hachios ben morei haTorah she'ispalu olav. The parts of the carbon that go to Kohanim is what he needs to give to Talmid Chachamim to be mispalel for him. Just a very interesting line. And then he adds another reason for carbon Talmid, which is in line with what he says. In other words, being that carbonis are all kapara, what's the carbon Talmid? Says the karma tamid bavur shalo yinatzlu harab mechatoy tamid. As a tzibur, we always understand that we're not free of chait, and that's a quote from the Ramban. Then he has a next paragraph in the Chinuch. He says, I want to add a few more things on the Rachapshat. V'noima ki mizeh hasheresh tzivono ke lahakiv l'olam. Being that the purpose of a carbon is to make a person feel, get a very strong sense of loss that chait has done, the Torah asks for things that are generally expensive, important to a person. Bread, wine, and meat are the three staples. At least they used to be the staples of people, and the expensive meat, wine, and bread. That's the person. Kedeshes ora lev yosim esik behen. That a person should be more misora. I guess I assume that in translating it to our terms, it would mean that when a person gives tzedakah, mitzad hilchas tzedakah, so a person needs to. A person has a shear how much to give, and the purpose is not to cause a loss to myself, but the purpose is to help the other. You're not supposed to give more than a certain amount. The Brisker Rav says that's true only mitzvah tzedakah. There's another din that the Neil it says that v'schatayich preik with tzedakah, that you should be poida your averis with tzedakah, that has no shear. In other words, tzedakah has in itself an element of kaparas avonos. That element is not restricted by Isman and Adarabah. The way he says it over here, it's something that, if anything, it should, quote-unquote, hurt. The person should feel the giving, he should feel it, because that's the only way in which he can sense the loss that he's incurred in his own nefesh by the aver he did, and so on. The next paragraph, we'll skip he speaks about karbonis nedava. He explains karbonis nedava are there not as a kaparas avonos, but it's also a certain sense of understanding that really we all are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lack of value, and so on. That is the point that he says about Kabbalah Sadaba. The last two paragraphs, he adds a very important point in general about time and mitzvahs. U'be'inyan chiluk ha-karbonis, b'shchitosan matanis adam chelkan v'yas v'nei ram. In all of the distinctions, the sub-distinctions, in Karbanis, all of the various halachas, im neim alofi apshat shahoya kein lias machshavas ovid chvasav ader rabba, ki achilukim yachrichu kiyum machshav v'dava. If we're going to try to find reasons for each and every one, what it is that the person has to gain from the two zrikas, the four zrikas, the one zrika, etc., lo nale biyodeinu aktiv v'nairus. What we'll end up with is very infantile. Uklal advarim. Even pshat, without the help of Kabbalah, we won't find the reasons. Valehem nichra apayim, and we must bow to them. So he says, he makes a point which is very interestingly repeated in a very different context. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, when he speaks about the meaning of various nevuahs that are metaphor, he says that there are the nevuahs that, you know, most nevuahs of the nature of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malachim, etc., are all metaphors. And he says over here that a person ought to understand that the general meaning, in other words, the general meaning of a nevuah is very specific, and we can identify that, and that's part of learning nevuah. The details are many times just fleshed out for the sake of the story. A story, it's like when somebody, Lahavlov, does writes a good novel. So the theme is important, the main points of the plot are important, but the guy's got to live in a house, he's got to have a lawn, he's got to drive a car, you know, so the details are there, because when you paint a painting, you paint with details. So the Rambam says, don't ask me to tell you every single prat what it means, because it doesn't have to have a meaning. Similarly, the Gedolei Pashtonim, like the Radak, many times in Tanakh, when a pasuk repeats itself, will say Oysa Inyan Bekeful Amilim, Okeful Aloshin. It's the same idea, just repeated, because when a person speaks poetically, there's a certain rhythm of language that poetry uses, and it's not repetition when you say it in two or three different ways, because that's the way poetry speaks. That understanding is true on the level of pshat. In other words, in the world of pshat, I don't need to know what each and every detail of the karma is. It stands, it is a correct interpretation as a general kapara, and I'm instead of it. The details, so that's what the chinuch says, the details are something which are left for the world of Kabbalah, and this is where we see the need for Kabbalah, where we see the truth of Kabbalah is, because our tools cannot deal with all of the details. So in the world of Pshat, you need just describe the general point of it. It is perfectly okay to use repetition to when you bring a carbon, you're obviously going to need a place and so on and so forth. And the world of Kabbalah is where you're able to get you're able to understand the details as well. Then he says, so that means we're going to run straight to Kabbalah. Ve'ulam einu mikatak silim einu kol ruchenu bidvarim. He says, so, okay, the Chinuch says, I will be giving you all sorts of ideas and points about different things in Karbanos. Does that mean it's a waste of time? He says, no, because there are really good points to be seen. You see, Chazal says so, he says, Sh'omu karm soite, hi osa maise behema, lefiko takev soirim, karm etsoir osa maise patit, yakev tziporim, and so on. In other words, when Chazal bring out these points, they're not telling you the ultimate reason and so on. It has mitzvahs do have many rimazim in it, and that's why it's important to keep the different elements of the inyan separate. I want to comment about this a little bit. There are many, many drachim that are used to dash in Torah. If somebody is familiar with Brisk and the Brisk Rav and so on, the psukim on Chumash, the inyanim on Chumash, are everything is seen in terms of a halacha. In other words, any kasha is answered by applying a halacha to it and explaining it in halachic terms, why it had to be here, why it had to be there, why you had to do this, that, and that. It's almost as if all of Chumash is simply, you don't say if you need to explain it as a Rambam or a Shulchan Aruch. There are Balei Musa that say everything has less than Musa. There are Balei Kabbalah that say everything is a Rambam Kabbalah. The truth is, all of them are true. There are different dimensions, and the Torah's emes is emes, because all of them fit together. I'll give you a mashal. When a person has a house or a building, there are different considerations. There are structural considerations, what will hold what and what will stand and so on. There are aesthetic considerations, such as what looks pleasing and so on. There are financial considerations, what costs what. There are functional considerations, how well will this serve the purpose of the offices or the person living, so on and so forth. If you take an old house and you try to renovate it, you will inevitably end up being short on some and long on some. It might be very functional, but it looks kind of weird. You know, you're sort of patching out two rooms to do this and a half room to do that. And when you build a new building from the beginning, you can many times get a fair amount of all of them in place. Sometimes not. There are, you know, the laws of physics and the rules of aesthetics and the realities of finance are, you know, not always in line with each other. But it is possible much more to have it. The godliness of Torah is that you can ask a question, how was Avram allowed to do this? And it has to be answered shacharachdik. You can ask, how was Avram allowed to do this? It seems to be morally wrong somehow, and we can answer it with understanding the quote-unquote morality of it. We can ask what kind of tikkun was going on, and it will be true. They all are true because Torah is true on all levels. What is important, though, is not to mix them. There's room to say pshat that's correct, like the Sefer Chinuch, and there's room to say tikkunim, like this, like the Kriyat Chaim, but it's important to keep each one its own world. I just want to tell my father-in-law, who was reputed to have a big hand in Kabbalah, and my father never spoke about it. He was always a very restrained person and got his own personal yanim, and certainly about something like this, he was not talkative. But he once had a nephew of his sitting at the Shabbos table, and his nephew asked him that something about the sheep with Lavan, and somehow his kasha was that Yaakov did not deserve to get those sheep, and he was in effect stealing from Lavan. So he asked the question, my father, I don't remember the details of how he set up the question, but pretty much that was the question. So my father didn't answer him, and he suggested an answer, and he said he heard that Al-Pi Kabbalah, the sheep had in themselves the neshamas of the Shishim Ribo Klai Yisrael. So my father-in-law gave him a blank look, and he said, so how was he allowed to steal a sheep? In other words, if your question was, why is Yaakov patching with some sheep, so answer about the Shishim Ribo. The question was in Hilchos Gzeila. All of Kisa Rizal is not going to answer Hilchos Gzeila. Don't mix the kitchens. Each one has its own rhythm. Good pshat is good pshat, and good oimek is good oimek, and good kabbalah is good kabbalah. They don't need to mix with each other. And that's what the Chinuch says. There is room to sit and learn the Torah and with the panim of pshat, the inyan of karbanis that are brought for a soita, the inyan of karbanis that are brought for a mitzera, and so on and so forth. There is not any type of reason to say that a person is only going to learn Kabbalah. Okay, the next piece is going to be a Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. It's a very, very famous piece. It is quite controversial. Controversial means Ramban argues, and there are a lot of kashas issues, but it's a Ramban Shita, and it's very important to know it. It is Rambam Shita. It's one of those things that it's wrong to sweep it under the rug. The Rambam was a Rambam, and understanding his Shita is important. So this Rambam is in Moreh Nevuchim. It is Chelek Gimel Perek Lamed Beis. That's where he speaks about in Chelakim at the end he speaks of Tamar Kabanis. Ukimoy Zoysan Haga Ba'atzma Minamaniga Hu Yisparach Bo Dvorim Ramitar Seina Vehu. So he says, the beginning of the paragraph is that many elements in the Torah, many mitzvahs in the Torah are not there for telling me, they're not there for the surface purpose, they're a means to get to a very different purpose. Like he's going to say, Karbanis, the tachlis is not Karbanis, but something else. There are many types of anhogs like that. It is impossible to go from extreme to extreme. You can't take a piece of metal that's bent in one direction and you snap it in the other direction, I guess without breaking it. It's impossible for a person, in the nature of a person, to drop everything suddenly. Because Hashalach Alokai, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lesitnei Mamlechus Kanev Kodesh V'Yasi Yisparach, and when Hashem Baruch sent out Moshe Rabbeinu to make us into a Mamlechus Kanev Kodesh, K'mo Shebi Avama Atarei Seladas, Hidatei Moshe Sovecha, Uli Nosin Lavodoso, and so on, that we should become Oivid, that we should become Oivdei Hashem. I'm skipping a line. V'hoya Haminag Amefosim Bo'olam Kulo. The minhag in the world was say Ozri Gilimbo Vavoda Kolosh Gadla, the divine worship, religious activity was Lehakriv Mine Balachayim Becholasahim to bring Karbanis, Ashimamidbe Matslomi Mustachvasam Lakatel Sneim. The minhag of the world was to bring Karbanis to Avodazar. That was the worship. Va'oibdim Vapushim Hoya Oza Noshim Sun Lavarisachol Sam Sunikachov. And in those temples you had their priests. Like Gozach Chachmasa Yisparach v'Tachpulosam v'Ares v'Chol B'Yosav, she'itzaveinu l'niach min avayisem kulam azvatam. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and gave us Torah, it was in His wisdom that He didn't tell us drop it all. Ki oz ha'yazem mashal ayala b'leiv l'kablog p'tev adam. A person would not be able to be mekablet. Shunayte tamed l'murgal, because a person is used to his habits. Now, I want to add just a knesh on this point. What he means is, maybe I could force a person to do it, but it wouldn't be him. And if you force a person to do something that's not him, it will break at some point. In other words, it's just like when an orthodontist tries to fix teeth, he doesn't use a hammer. He puts gentle pressure on it and changes it ever so gently.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't the Rambam say in Hilchos Deos that if a person has a certain Deah, what they're supposed to do is go to the opposite extreme?
I once heard an explanation for that. He's supposed to go to the opposite extreme, but not suddenly. In other words, for instance, a person that is overeating, so he needs a diet. It's a gradual process. The point that he needs to get to in his ability not to eat is like to swing the other direction. But it's not going to be a sudden act.
In other words, the person should put as his goal, that's where I'm headed towards.
That's what I'm headed towards, so exactly. Then I can, and then at the end, once I'm able to fast a day, then I can go to a party and say, I want this and this, but not this. But you're right, 100%. Okay. So he says like this. He said, imagine Novi comes manazer, she yikrila vodas lakai bi yoyma, halakai tzivas on shleitis palalov, lota tzimu, lot vakshashas veis tzorah, al tia vodascha machshav li maisa. Let's say somebody would come today and say, Rabbeisai, no more praying, no more davening, no more fasting, just meditation. Umipneze hishe yisbarach mina avodas ahim. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu left those avodas of Karbanis, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he transferred it from being things that are over Avodah Zarah, which are Shekeh Betzim, L'Shmo Yisparach, V'Tzivah L'Seisim L'Lo Yisparach. This is very similar to, like today, you have an organization that wants to hire kids, if you have like an NCSY, you're not going to tell the kids, Rabbeisai, partying is stupid, and this is nonsense, and just sit and learn all day. You say, let's have a party, l'kavod Shabbos, l'kavod Yom Tov, we'll do a little bit more b'kedusha. You know, that's the norm of it. And that's why he told him to beis hamikdash and bring karbanis, and not chasron bring it avodah zarah, and so on and so forth. And that's what the Rambam says here. V'niyo dea, the Rambam says, next paragraph, shenavshcha tivrach mizeh inye bechreach, you're going to be very upset with this. The yichbra lechon, you're going to find it hard to believe. And v'tishleinu b'libcha v'toymali, you're going to tell me, eichevo mitzvahs asoros v'l'tzumus v'rosh ma'od, v'uzmanim zmanim, v'in kulam bilti b'chavanus la'atzah v'dava acha, kilo im tachpulo shasha sem lonu la'gil ha'kavanus ha'shayna. In other words, you tell me that all of Kachim and all of the Rambam on Kachim and all of the Briskerov on Kachim, all of it is just like, it's not be'emes be'emes, it's just a way to get you weaned off Karbanis. You find it very hard to believe. So he says, well, I'll tell you, the Rambam says, it's a pasuk, it says, V'nochem l'kim d'archeatz plishtim, ki karavu, v'yasev l'kim esom d'ach mid yamsev. You see, a Kaddish Baruch Hu sometimes leads you in a direction that the purported goal is not the real goal, and there's a reason why Kaddish Baruch Hu must lead you around about. And we'll speak about this Rambam actually in Mishalach, but the Torah never changes people's nature. He then goes on to say that on page 5, if you have the sheets, sort of the third or fourth paragraph, that va'ashev al kavanasi va'omer ki kasher hoya zeh min min avoda ritzon lo ma karbanis atzara kavana shnia va'tzaka va'tfilo ki yotzebe mi ma'is avodos yosekrov kavana shayne v'cheres v'gileo. In other words, tfila bakasha are much closer to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have as avodas Hashem rather than karbanis. And he says, you see that karbanis was severely limited. There were halachas that restricted karbanis. Only Beis HaMikdash, only a kohen, and so on and so forth. Whereas davening, anytime and any place, a person can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing is true with tzitzis, same thing is true with this shows, in our mind, it shows how elevated karbanis are. The Rambam sees it the opposite. The Rambam says karbanis were severely restricted and limited, whereas tefillah and so on are any place. It's like when you walk, if a Martian were to land at an airport and he sees that there are small designated sections for smoking in the airport, he could say maybe like smoking is such an elevated activity and so important and so significant that it's limited some places, or it's a despicable activity, and that's why we have to have it, but you know, only we have designated areas. And the second is true, obviously, and this is where Rambam is learning it. And that's what Rambam says, Vavur za'inya shegilis lecha, nimtza harbi b'sif nevi'a shomu chichim radim avroi v'shtadlusim v'shchaskam avi karbonis. You find many times that a Navi castigates people. I don't want any karbanis from you. And the reason is karbanis are really a secondary act in terms of Avodas Hashem. And that's why it doesn't say anywhere why you're davening if you're bad people, but it says why are you bringing karbanis if you are bad people. That is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, and the Rambam Shita is very, very famous. Let's take a look on page, I guess 6 is Ramban over here. Page 8, actually. It's Ramban. He brings the Pasuk, the Psukim. He brings the Rambam's Shita. And the Ramban says, it's the second paragraph on page 8 and the pages we have, but the V'hineh him divrei havoy. The Rambam's words wrong. Yirapu shevek gadol because Yirabu al nikla. He's trying to rectify a big problem with a band-aid. Yasa shulchan Hashem megul she'enenu rak lahotzi milivu shashen tipsha olam. He's defiling the shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch, the Mizbeach, which is the ultimate of Kedusha, Zeh HaShulchan Lifnei Hashem, he's saying, well, it's only like an NCSY dance to help people get away from Avodah Zarah. V'akosiv Omer Kim Lechem Yishol Reich Nechoyach. The Pasuk calls it, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Lechem. So how in the world do you take something which in the Pesukim is demonstrably the epitome of Avodah Hashem, and make it into a sort of b'di'evet kind of way to get it from Zara, best done through Vafet. V'hine, it says, gam l'fi shitosam, sh'tusos ha-mitzum l'tisam ha-chosam b'zer. It's not going to take away from them, it's going to add, because the karbonis itself was very, very much, the act of karbonis was kind of an expression of Zara, and you're feeding, it's like saying, you know, you're going to give the person more drugs to wean away from the drugs. That's one taina. And then he has the obvious taina. V'hinei Noach betzeisum in ha-teva m'shloishis banav. Noach, when he looked at teva, ein v'olam kasti o-mitzri. Hikiv korm v'yita b'nei Hashem. He brought a korm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was great. V'yorach shavzeich l'chachmenu v'amal libel osu v'lekalas adoma. And Hevel, he said, Hevel brought a korm v'yesh Hashem ha-hov v'chosav. So what was Hevel's issue? What was Noach's? Bilam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I brought Korbanis like the others. The purpose of those Korbanis was that. He did it as an action to bring him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chalila shleim v'm shum t'alos v'ratzen rak shaylos v'rzor v'das ha-shaytim. There's also there's another issue with it. We say karbanis. We say every musaf at the high points of the year. You know, mizbeach chodesh b'tziyah in tochin va'olos rosh chodesh nala olaf. Every karban musaf, which are really the sort of the peak of tefillahs during the year, they're all about. We can't go up there. We can't bring karbanis. Emet Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us together again, bring us back to Yerushalayim, and we're going to bring karbanis again. I mean, that's tefillah. That's the tefillahs we have. Every davening is Ritzei, Isha Yisrael, and the Rambam didn't have a different gear to the Siddur. The Rambam has a Siddur, and look at the Rambam Siddur in Ava, and the Rambam has over there all of the tefillahs we have. His tefillahs were not different. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back and so on and so forth. And more, there's the Rambam has a whole sefer, has two sefarim, Avodah and Korbanis. Now, the Rambam, it's not mistava that a chelik of Torah that has become batel already, and will be batel, is going to appear in the Rambam. It's one thing, mitzvahs that we should be doing, except that we can't do them. So for Tyrus we should be doing, we just can't do them. So fine, so drama, it's Torah. But if this was kind of a temporary Torah, it's like Hilchas Bnias Mishkan does not appear in the Rambam. Bnias Mishkan happened once, and that's the end of it. There's nothing going to be Hilchas Binyan Mishkan. Anything that no longer Nogea is not going to. It doesn't say in the Rambam. It has to be theoretically Nogea, something like that. Those are very, very hard points, and I'll say in the Rambam. Rambam Shita is a very hard Shita to understand. There are different terutzim. Terutzim are difficult. The main problem is sort of the tension in the Rambam itself between Mor Nevuchim and a Sefer, and Yad Chazaka, both in Tefillah and in terms of Karbanis. The one semi-answer is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim was writing a pshat that makes sense even from philosopher's point of view. In other words, he was defining and describing Torah within a certain framework, and he could describe Kabbalah within that framework. It's hard. And some other things, and the Rambam goes through it's one of the issues, when the Rambam gives the timing for the mitzvahs that he lists over there, they seem to be weak. I mean, a lot of them seem to be very weak, and it's hard to believe that the mitzvah that's given so much chashivas in the Torah is kind of, you know, there's a reason. The understanding, one of the things is that the Rambam was, Ilchat Chila set himself to explain Torah within a certain context of ideas and meanings, and that's what he says. He says for this, it says, for instance, he says Torah is to take away the bad odors in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, in the context of the mention of Ketores, that Vayamoid with the Machta, and Ketores is stops Mageifa, and all of those things, and Ketores is very special, and Chas HaShalom, you should make anything like the Ketores, and this and that. It's very hard learning the Psukim and the elementary Chazals to have a picture that it's just basically another spray deodorant to take away those reichels. Right. It's very, very hard to see it that way. But Al Kapanim, the Rambam was describing it, even in the world of extreme pshat, it has a meaning. That's an approach, hard to see, because the Rambam does put so much fire into it. It's not, if you learn the Rambam inside, like we have, you feel the thunder and the fire of the Rambam. It's not just the Al Kapanim. It's not our job. I mean, it's our job to learn it. As they say, I mean, lo kablan tirutzim. I don't have the need to explain it fully. Great people have tried to, but it's a very, very famous machlokas. The Rambam's Shita Mor Nevuchim is a hard sheet to understand in context of everything else. Ramban is argues the approach of most cheetahs is very in sync with the chinuch, which is a kind of It's a maisa of expressing charata and tshuva and maisim that are much more powerful expressions and leave a much greater impact and impression on a person than mere words, and the person sort of sees himself in the carbon, offering himself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. I want to add one more word. There's a great sensitivity today. It's a kind of topic that people, even at the outskirts of modern Orthodox world, are not comfortable with the ideas of Karbanis. Somebody wrote an article. This person himself is not from, but you know he's widely read and so on. But let's face the truth. Even many of my Orthodox friends don't think there's going to be a Karbanis, and they would, the idea of bloody bullocks and all that, it makes them very uncomfortable. So this person was proposing, you know, editing the Siddur a little bit and so on, but he was talking about his Orthodox friends and so on and so forth. I want to talk about the issue head on. Very few people have a problem eating a steak, even though it came from Baal Chai, and they say, you know, on the evolutionary pyramid, we're on top of animals, and we live by eating animals. If a person is a vegan, he actually suffers from vitamin deficiencies. You can't get vitamin B12. There are elements. It's very hard to get proteins from pure vegetables. A person really is built to eat meat. He has teeth, he has incisors, he has canine teeth, he has teeth that are designed, that evolution designed, quote-unquote, for eating meat. Eating meat is an important part of a person's diet. A normal person will survive only when he eats meat, fish, something like that. So a person has no problem saying, well, it's so there are people who are vegans and vegetarians, but the vast majority of the people that are, quote-unquote, uncomfortable with the bloody bullocks are very comfortable eating a steak. They have a problem with it. They say, listen, that's, you know, we're above them, it's right, the Torah, whatever. I don't even need to. The matar of a carbon is to elevate a person. And it has a very, very powerful effect on a person. We don't know because we've never bought carbonus. And we don't have any idea. But the standing there as a life ebbs out of an animal and feeling yourself to be that. It's the closest that a person can feel of Yiska Yoma Misa, the idea that all life dribbles out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea that all fat and everything is consumed and only the very fine part goes, and so on, all the kavanas, the simple kavanas of karbanis and so on. if that serves to so powerfully elevate a person in ways that words don't do. Anyone who's been by the bed of somebody as he's passed away, I've been Zohar, once I was there with my father, and I was there with my father-in-law. It is an impact that all the musician with all the words don't produce. It's just the reality of the mystery of life. When something is living and then it's gone, is one of the most powerful impacts on a human psyche. If the animal serves that purpose, is that less of a purpose than eating a steak? Well, it's not a gory Roman festival or a chasing of the bulls in Spain that brings out the worst in people. You're talking about a makom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this elevates a person. And people felt that way. The yearning for kabbanis is, there's a dimension. So why is that less than eating a steak? People think that when they read a beautiful poem, they're as elevated as when they had a carbon. It's not true. And that's the only issue, and we've never had karbanis, we don't know what they are, and we've never had that experience. The Torah says it is. So we need to understand it that way, and understand that just like animals can be used for man, I mean, you know, there are plenty of hunting and fishing. Hunting by English noblemen is recreational. Hunting is permitted because it's recreational. Karbanis is a purpose for the nefesh. And if we knew what it was, we understood what it was, the question of why would we want it wouldn't exist. Okay.